You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley, how are you this morning?
Morena Rachel, look, 1st of August, 5 months' time, it'll be the 1st of January 2024.
Oh my God.
It's flying by. I know.
It really is. I'm not sure we're ready for that quite yet.
I've got a lot to do between now and then, let me tell you.
Yeah, certainly do. Let's have a bit of a chat about rates relief first off the bat here. The council has announced that there's going to be more support for people whose homes are uninhabitable in terms of rates relief. What does this actually mean? Do people already know if they fall in that category? Is there still some conversation to be had around that?
Look, yeah, this is just the right thing to do. I mean, we did this originally back in March for 6 months. We did think that there would be a revaluation of properties that were uninhabitable done by now that hasn't been possible due to a lot of things. So look, if your property has a red sticker or red placard, you don't have to do anything. We have around, I think it's around 324 red properties still, and that will automatically apply. I mean, if you can't live in your property, you shouldn't have a rate. You shouldn't be eligible. We shouldn't just have to pay rates, full stop, capital letter. But look, so you don't have to do anything if you've got a red sticker on your property. But look, we do have some people stickered with white stickers and yellow stickers. Mm-hmm. And if you believe that your property is uninhabitable. I mean, some of those yellow ones are a bit funny, Rachel. I mean, the yellow ones are where parts of your home are inhabitable. Well, if that part is the kitchen and the bathroom, it's pretty uninhabitable,
really.
Isn't it? Yeah. So that was the structure assessment, more than practical assessment. So if you do believe that your property is uninhabitable and you don't have a red sticker, yes, please just contact the council and we'll look into that.
What's the best way to do that? Is there a specific page set up for people to contact you on, or how do people find, I guess, the best route into council?
There is a place on our website specifically for this. I think it's called Apply for Rates Relief for Uninhabitable Storm Damaged Property, so nice. It's pretty obvious.
That's good.
Yeah.
And how long is this rates relief? How long is this rates relief going to go for, Desley? Is there a time limit on it? What are we seeing at the moment?
Well, we put a number of resolutions through, which were unanimous. I think we all appreciate this is a real tough time. The first it goes through to June. We set rates once a year, so the rating year goes from the 1st of July to the 30th of June in any 1 year. So this first relief goes for this. For this rateable year through to June 2024, and should we still not have things sorted for those property owners, well then there is another year of rates relief for those people. I'm hoping we don't need that, but look, this is really complex and it is taking a bit of time.
So we
sort of right from the word go said, look, if you can't live in your property, it's ridiculous. You shouldn't be paying rates.
Yeah.
And look, our staff also worked really hard with central government to make sure that the supplement on accommodation was provided to those renting because they can't live in their homes, and that's been extended as well. So that's excellent.
That's great to hear. I'm sure that'll be a big relief to a lot of people. We're sort of keeping a little bit on the theme of, ongoing flood impacts in Tāmaki this morning, but there is a consultation open on the Auckland's Civil Defence Emergency Management Group Plan, which is a very long title, but it is a very important thing. What is it, and why should people be, getting engaged with it at the moment, Desley?
Well, let's face it, it's an important plan to have, isn't it? We haven't done this since, I think, 2016. But it's a statutory requirement under the Civil Defence Emergency Management Act. Everyone's supposed to have a plan, and it sort of sets the visions and goals for us over the next sort of 5 years. And so the aim is to facilitate a coordinated and integrated approach to the way we address significant risks and hasn't.
Mm.
So, look, you can have your say. It's on that classic have your say part of our website. And there is also forms at all council libraries as well. Consultation opened yesterday, that's the 31st of July, and closes at the end of this month, that's the 31st of August. So, look, I would urge Aucklanders to go take a look. We've had we've had some direct experiences, and I think, it would be really helpful if people just had a good look themselves, and if they've got any practical ideas or whatever, to have their say on that.
Now, obviously, when we did see the terrible flooding this year, it's been really community organisations that have stepped up into, I guess, that immediate response role, and that's something that, I guess, there is a conversation between Auckland Council and community organisations. Is this something that is talked about in the emergency plan? Is this part of that remit?
Look, it is designed to empower communities both before, during and after an emergency. So we do know that when disaster strikes, it's often the community members who are the first to respond and offer help. And no one knows a community better than the people in it. So this plan kind of guides our approach to emergency management from a strategic overview, looking at the famous four R's, reduction, readiness, response and recovery. So yes, I think community is really important. Look, we've also launched another guide for religious communities, Rachel. I mean, they played a huge part during the many times of, trial, for want of a better word, in communities. Mm-hmm. And, we had lots of groups mobilising from the religious sectors. For example, members of the Church of the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints volunteered at the Mangere Civil Defence Centre. We had the Central Sikh Society providing thousands of meals to flood-stricken Aucklanders. The New Zealand Muslim Association opened their mosques across Auckland as emergency shelters. So we've also got this wonderful Resilient Religious Communities Guide that I helped launch last week, and that's wonderful. And I just really want to do a big shout out to the very many religious communities within Auckland who have and continue to provide huge guidance when things.
I'm sure that people in those neighbourhoods around, as you say, a lot of the mosques and the churches that opened up, and also the marae, not a religious community, but also the marae really welcoming people in. It's been a very important part of that response. Just keeping on the theme of ongoing flooding stuff, we have to talk about sinkholes, because that's been a slightly alarming headline in the last week, particularly for people driving around the CBD. There's quite a large sinkhole opening up in College Hill Road, which is near the police station. There's also been conversation that this might not be the last sinkhole we see. Can you explain a little bit about why we're seeing that? I know it is to do with flood damage, but is it something that people should be concerned about at the moment?
Well, it's certainly something that's focusing Auckland Transport and Healthy Waters' attention. Because, look, yes, there's no doubt about it that, below the ground we have still a huge amount of water, and that is causing some issues. So the particular one in College Hill was because that an old pipe built in, wait for it, 1915,
right.
So we're talking very old pipe,
yes,
collapsed. And, it was due for replacement, but what happens with a pipe, when a pipe collapses, it actually causes water to flow around that broken pipe, pull up, and then as a result bubble up and come up to the surface and cause issues. Now, interestingly enough about this one, we already knew it had collapsed. The planned work was for this month anyway, but, nature just got there a bit of ahead of us and caused that sinkhole. So we're onto it now. Look, there's a four-lane stretch of road in that particular place. We've got the outer veins being able to be opened, but we will need to continue to replace that whole pipe in the middle, two lanes, so they will be closed for a while.
How much of that type of replacement is the council estimating we might see over the next wee while? Because, you know, it's a slightly ominous thing to say you might see more sinkholes, and we definitely have, you know, old pipes around the city. So is there an estimation at the moment on how much disruption that's going to cause?
Look, I don't think so. I mean, I've been told that there are no sinkhole hotspots, for want of a better word. So there's no kind of one particular area that we think we might have in a number of sinkholes. But Healthy Waters, which is the council's stormwater department, have said that we may well encounter other sinkholes across the city. I mean, in my own ward, I think, you know, I've put a few obvious roads through to Healthy Waters to have a look at, and you can see them coming. And they basically, they start off as not a pothole, which really pulls it. It's a subsidence in the, and then it gets a bit lower and a bit lower and finally breaks through, and then, of course, it can get bigger. So, look, we are very aware, especially in the isthmus, which is part of, you know, the older part of Auckland network. Pipes are very old. That this is kind of something that we really do need to keep an eye on, because there's always the risk of sinkholes opening around damaged pipes.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Desley. It's good to touch base with what's going on around the city. We will talk to you again next Tuesday. Have a great week.
You will indeed. Thanks, Rachel.
Kia ora.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.